Well, Steve, pretty fair weekend of Anzac Day footy. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, there was, mate. An absolute avalanche of points seen across the NRL. One of the highest weeks ever. And some of the rule changes starting to turn some of the rusted on fans off the game, mate.
It'll be interesting to see where that heads. One thing's for sure, it's pretty impressive that they sold out every game of the Anzac weekend. It shows that the Anzac spirit is alive and well. Whether that actually equates to generated interest in the NRL, that remains to be seen. We also have a look at the power rankings. There's a bit of consistency happening there up in those top teams of the teams that keep showing up every week, and we're seeing a real separation from the good and the not so good in the table. I'm Ian Hawkins, and this is Sport is Life. The purpose of sport, as I see it, is to see your vision become a reality. Find your voice, create strong connections, and learn to trust your body. Okay, Steve, how are you, mate?
Yeah, good, thanks, Hawk. Big weekend of rugby league, the Anzac Day clash and festivities. It was awesome, buddy. How you been?
Yeah, had a good weekend. Our team's in the doldrums again. It's a roller coaster ride, isn't it, being an NRL fan?
Yeah, it certainly is, mate. Not for the Dragons, because we're constantly on the downward spiral at the moment. The roller coaster's got to click into gear soon. She's been a wild ride. Don't worry about that. The ups and downs continue for your mighty Eels, though.
Oh, yeah, mate. It's funny, you see everyone in the post-mortem in the Facebook groups and in the comments in different posts, and they overcomplicate it. We just dropped the ball for the first 20 minutes of the second half. And it was interesting. It was 7-6 at half time, and both teams were looking really fatigued because the ball had been in play so long. So you knew it was going to break open. All we had to do was hold the ball and didn't. So it's just what we've been talking about all year. It's even more important. But yes, we'll get to that specific game. Just like, you talked about the roller coaster. You must have been up and about when Cade Reid hits that pass for what looked like the first try, thinking, okay, we're back here.
Yeah, I did. I was actually out at Bishop Park to watch the North Devs play in their Anzac Day game. So I only got bits and pieces of the Dragons game, but certainly watched it the next morning. The way they started was electric. And then when Cade Reid fires that cutout pass, said it too, looks like he scored a try. And just the emotion that they showed, they were all up, they were all about. There were certain things in the game, nothing to take away from the Roosters. They certainly should have won the game, but a lot of things went against the Dragons. But you saw little glimpses, especially from Reid, where you think to yourself, well, just maybe if the forwards can keep rolling like they have, which we've spoken about most weeks here, he's just got that little bit of spark about him. He's got that little bit of creativity and that James Maloney goldfish sort of memory where something goes wrong, it's all right, we're going to dust ourselves off, we're going to have another crack. So while they were well behind the Roosters, even with the rubber green going against them, there were at least some green shoots, mate. There, no doubt about it. I was happy to see him, and good to see that Young's already backed him. I'd genuinely like to see him commit to the rest of the season, unless there was something going on from him personally and needed a break. I think the more games he plays in the NRL, the better. It doesn't get much harder than club footy than the Roosters on Anzac Day, so... I'd like to see him just stick with him for the year now and whatever will be, and just get as much game time under his belt as possible.
Yeah, it's a good observation on the goldfish, because he was still having a crack right to the end. Yep. And that last 5-10 minutes when literally all was lost, he was one of the bright sparks for him. So now I keep seeing comments from older fans, ex-players. I'm connected with a heap of them on LinkedIn and Facebook, and they're all saying the same thing. Like, what is going on with this game? Like, are we really happy with these sort of score lines? Like, one of them described it's like the old Toyota Cup scores. I don't know. Maybe the younger fans like it, but people are talking about turning off, and it does get a bit like that. Some of the games you're just forcing yourself to sit through, and you're like, "What? This is just junk."
Yeah, no, agreed, mate. I mean, across the round, there was mid 400 points scored, which is one of the highest on record. To your point, the flip side of that is that they had record crowds throughout the week. But to me, they're going to start to lose the rusted on fan. You know, we've spoken about it, everything from getting that consistency through the refereeing. There's not consistency from game to game, let alone week to week. The coaches are calling it out. You know, Wayne Bennett had a press conference during the week, and he basically said, you know, Benzie's a young coach. I still haven't figured it out, so he shouldn't be pulling his hair out just yet. And it's very frustrating, mate. It's not the game that we grew up watching and supporting and loving. To see these 70-point, 60-point games, you know, regularly on a weekend, it's not a one-off here or there. It's quite consistent. And this ruck, the speed, the six-agains, you know, there's not a hell of a lot of accountability at the moment on the referees for these six-agains. It's almost, you know, they're manufacturing this fatigue in the game. So that they can then, you know, you saw it in the Para Manly game. You mentioned it earlier. Let the referees build the fatigue into the game, and then let the tries come at the back end. Well, that, to your point, might entertain, you know, the new generation. And I guess, you know, us rusted on fans will eventually won't be around to watch any more footy, but they're going to start turning a lot of people off. I know there's a lot of people not betting on rugby league anymore, which was, you know, Volandi's big thing with the Americans, trying to get them to gamble on the game, just because of the unpredictable nature of the refereeing at the moment. So it'd be really interesting to see. We've been, you know, looking at this pretty closely for the first 8 weeks, and if anything, it's probably gotten worse. And as teams start to get injured, suspensions, you know, God forbid the origin time when we take the best, you know, up to 40 players out of the game across the NRL, it could be bloodbath for some teams. So, yeah, I'm in agreement with some of those old-timers, mate.
Absolutely. The game became unwatchable with sort of late 2000s and those first few years of the 2010s, but slowly it got better, and then to the level where the last 3-4 years, like I've talked to people who'd kind of maybe lost interest after Super League or switched over to the AFL because it was more entertaining, and they'd come back and they're enjoying it, and then it was good. So why do we go down this path of just making it like super quick? And the Para Dogs game was referee different. We talked about that last week. It was where they let them play more. There was far less adjudication. And that was the same in the first half of the Para Manly game as well. Once Para got fatigued after heaps of drop balls, then the six again started coming. So those two games kind of felt like they were like a little bit back to previous years. But some of the other games, it's just it's frustrating. And I think one of the big complaints you see from fans is sometimes you just don't even know what the six agains are for. And you see one ruck where that seems to be so slow, and even the players are going, like the team that they are committing the offence look guilty, and the other team's going, come on, like, let's get a six again, and they don't. And then other times where it just seems the same speed as before, and then you get one, and it's like I think that's the frustrating part too. Interesting you say that less people are betting. It will be interesting to see where all of this goes.
Yeah, definitely will be, mate. Yeah, it's a lucky dip with the six agains. There is word starting to get around the NRL that they're putting these inflated injury statistics down to it as well. Just, you know, these huge human beings fatigued, and then they're still running into each other like car crash victims. And eventually it happens. It's as simple as that. So, you know, the human body's not designed to play NRL as it is. To be playing it under this much fatigue and at this pace, they're starting to really fold. So, I don't know whether they can just turn this off tomorrow. I don't know whether they want to. I think they think it's a raging success at the moment. So, we'll just have to continue to hang in there and see how it unfolds, mate.
Yep. The crowds for mine is a product of Anzac Day and how that has – there's a bit of a revival in people seeing the importance of that. I couldn't even get to Brookvale because when I went to get on and get tickets, talked about last Monday, by Tuesday they were gone. And so I think that's, yeah, that's more a product of that. It will be interesting to see what the ratings say. And again, maybe at some point us old-timers will just have to move off into the sunset, a bit like what some of us cricket fans who are a bit disillusioned with where that's heading as well. And again, it just lends itself to this idea of corruption. There was a, just talking about cricket, there was a decision in the IPL last night, a run out for obstructing the field. I'm not sure if you saw it. And it just looked like one of those ones where everyone's just confused, going like, and even the players stood there sort of arguing after it had been given out, going like, he got sent back, he turned around, he dived for his crease, and they said he had a definite change of direction. And it's like, just, you just look at things like that going,
You open yourself up to a bit of that.
It creates a suspicion that shouldn't be there and hasn't been there. And is just on that, without trying to dive too far into conspiracy theories, I did see this when there was a sting in the US college basketball for point shaving. The people who found it first were the big punters, because they study this stuff to the minute detail. And when something shows up that doesn't add up, they see it first. And then when it keeps happening, then they report it and say, firstly, they stop betting on those matches, and then they report it, and then it gets found out.
It'd be interesting to see, you know, what they're what they're doing numbers wise, but it's just I haven't got any, you know, data or statistics on it. Just talk, you know, the pub test. And the lads are just saying it's not worth it anymore. So it'll be interesting to see what keeps unfolding, mate. You know, we lose any more injuries, you know, the 35-odd players going off to Origin in a month's time. I don't know how many people are going to be watching, you know, the Eels and the Cowboys on a Thursday night. So the proof will be in the pudding with the numbers moving forward, I guess, mate. They're not far off starting negotiations, if they haven't already, for the next broadcast deal. So potentially that has an impact on it. You know, he wants everything to be all eyes on the screens at the moment to try and jack that figure up. So look, hopefully it starts to resemble a little bit more of the rugby league, you know, we know and love. And Origin is another massive test for the rules and the way the referees are going to go about it. So, you know, if this six again happens in the state of Origin like we've seen it, I don't know how they can handle it.
Agree. Let's get to the games. Tigers, Raiders. To me, this really highlighted that separation we talked about from the top teams and the bottom teams. And even though the scoreline somewhat flatters the Raiders, I felt like
the Queensland Fire Department. We've investigated the alarm. It's a false alarm. You are free to return to the building.
What's going on there, mate?
Mate, we may need to cut that out. Apparently, there was a fire alarm, and we're all okay.
Yeah. No, I'm leaving that in. That was outstanding.
We'll see how we go. It certainly did scare the shit out of me, but anyway.
It's definitely going in the bloopers at worst.
Well done to the Tigers. They just keep rolling along. It's really impressive to see what they've done. To your point, they've just had that little bit extra class. You know, they're really gaining that yardage battle through the middle. Like what Twile's done this season, he's always been that solid first grader. He always makes the Tiger side. But he's putting his hand up for a State of Origin jersey, which, you know, 12 months ago they would have put you in a padded cell. Yeah, so, you know, to think that they've still got May, obviously Taylor May is now in the centres. He's getting better. I think he's played two or three now. He's gotten better each week. And they just looked better than the Raiders. It was simple as that. I think the Raiders had a lot of errors, and the Tigers just looked too polished for them. So, Matt, hats off to the Tigers. You know, some of them are having breakout seasons. We obviously already mentioned Twal. Dewey's another one. Every time he touches the ball, it's like he's got spiders on him. So he's been super impressive.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, the score flattered them. it really did come down to just they had almost like a lapse for about 10 minutes, which invited the Raiders back in. They got a bit of possession and capitalised, but they never looked troubled, the Tigers. And if anything, probably should have won by more. Yeah, like you said about Twal, like he's obviously got just an incredible engine because he's playing upward of 60 minutes most games. He's now got offloads. He's making big tackles, big yardage. He's the prototype player for this new way we're playing the game. I hadn't thought about Origin, but yeah, if he continues on this form, how can you not? Unbelievable. What I like is that Ricky Stewart had a real crack at how the game was being played when they won the week before, because I'm sure there would have been nothing that pleased him about how it was officiated on Thursday night. But again, they got the same problems at the moment there. They are not coping with the speed, which is somewhat ironic given just how much speed they have, but their forwards are... He set up a team for how the game was played for the last 5 years. So it does, to a certain degree, that's got to hurt, I reckon, for teams that have set up like that.
Definitely.
This game is just, again, it's just an example of what's wrong with this new way of officiating the game. There was some good stuff, like in attack, but just it's hard to get a read if you want to compare to last year, just... how good this was, just given how much the game opened up. Like 46-34 is a joke.
Yeah, it is. And to your point, you know, Cowboys won the game, but can you say they played better? Like it can't continue. 80 points in a game is just it's not acceptable. So, you know, the defense are just getting to the stage. Whether you call it fatigue, whether you call it they've now got an excuse. It isn't acceptable, even from a Cowboys perspective, to be letting in 34 points, especially when you've spent so much time with the ball not in play, try after try after try. So, they need to get better. The Cowboys keep finding a way. You know, they seem to be playing, it doesn't matter how many points you score, I'll score more sort of football, and that's going to pay off, especially if they get the rub of the green with the ref. But you know, there are a lot of teams, and these are certainly two of them, that are stuck in that middle roller coaster, as you put it earlier, where you win one, lose one, and you know, if it's your turn this week, you're going to score a win. So, I don't think either. Obviously, the Cowboys are going to be a little bit more relieved, and Peyton will have the Wolves will be at bay, but I don't think either coach would really be ecstatic with what they had on the weekend.
No, absolutely not. And Peyton off contract at the end of this year, I read. I didn't realise it was that soon. They're going to have to bite the bullet at some point. I'm convinced that they were hoping for him to have some bad results so they could move him on, but he's kind of putting him in a tough position at the moment. Still not sure about either of those teams and where they're at. I don't think they're in the top teams, but one team I'm convinced are, given their performances with so many injuries, the Broncos could not be more impressive at the moment. And it's funny, isn't it? Like the noise in the media and the NRL just goes from one story to the next, and they flog that until it's dead. And the Madge and the Broncos has just gone very, very quiet, because he has just got them playing a relentless brand of football, no matter who steps into that jersey.
Yeah, it's been quite impressive. Each week we get on here and we say, surely they can't win again with the injuries. There's always more and more. This week it seems like, as this podcast will drop, we'll know who's in the side next week. There seems to be the cavalry seems to be starting to come back. But look, hats off to Maguire, right? He just finds a way to get it done. So Suncorp was chockers and absolutely going off. So for them to put up that sort of victory, just basically completely dominated the Bulldogs. I didn't think the Bulldogs had an answer for them at any stage. I thought they were, basically just too good. One of their two tries come while Broncos were down to 12, and by the time Galvin scored late in the game, it was already over. So yeah, we've pinged the Broncos, the Bulldogs all year for not having enough creativity and enough points. You look back, you know, they beat St. George when they probably shouldn't have, and St. George hasn't come close to winning the game. They beat Canberra. They've had a rocky season themselves. You take that Penrith win out, and it hasn't been too too impressive for the Bulldogs. So it looks like Kikau is out for a few weeks with that pec injury. And I thought a couple of their players were very, very lucky to get off without a suspension. I thought Matt Burton's practicing his taekwondo throws. I thought he should have been suspended for both of them. One of them, he got lucky. There was a second player involved in the tackle, but he's going to need to watch himself. And then Crichton had a trip. They both got a fine. So, yeah, I think the Bulldogs are in a bit of a hole.
Yeah, the Burton one, he was lucky that his head didn't hit the ground, because if he had have, he might have found him with a few weeks suspension. That was just frustration, I think. The Panthers game just seems like the biggest aberration now. Like, where has that come from and where's it gone? Because as you say, they probably shouldn't have beaten the Dragons. They were pretty poor against Para. Again, just the same thing we talked about last year, and we questioned at the start of this year when we did our preview. The middles just aren't making meters, and Leo Thompson's come back. He's underdone. That he'll get better. Max King's out. That's a problem. But it's pretty much been there the whole season. They're just not able to compete in that place. And then again, like you said, they're lacking creativity, particularly when they get in the attacking zone. So it will be interesting to see what is a big tick for you, mate. As you called it at the start of the year, you thought they'd go backwards. And they certainly have. So interesting times out at the Doggies. I'm sure Doggies fans don't tolerate this, and they're expecting big things this year, and they will be they'll be getting noisy if it keeps going on the way it's going. Now this game, the Anzac game, as always, the lead up to the game, and it was good to see it, like the Anzac ceremony at every game, but of course it's sort of next level out there at Allianz, to the point where there's a lot of neutrals that go out. So that part was good. Like we said, the Dragons certainly started with a lot of energy, and you thought they were going to maybe be in the contest for longer, but then. Like I saw a Dragons fan the other day say, we keep saying it can't get worse, but it just did. I'm surprised you watched it back, mate. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, look, as I said earlier, there is zero to take away from the Roosters. The last few weeks we've been saying if Roosters can put the first half together, because they've been coming home like an absolute train, if they can put that first half together and get off to a good start, they're going to start blowing away some teams. You know, we called it last fortnight that the Roosters are going to go on a bit of a roll, and that's what they did. They were super impressive. So not to take anything away from the Roosters. Look, the Dragons, for them to get a win against anyone right now, everything's going to have to go their way. So, you know, you think about that try that we spoke about earlier. They had two in the sin bin in the first half alone, and all of a sudden, boom, the game's over. So for the Dragons, they clearly weren't good enough anyway, but they need everything to go their way. And unfortunately, on Anzac Day, everything went against them, whether they brought it upon themselves or not. To your point, you've been banging on about it, and you're right, mate. They still haven't got the cattle in certain positions. They're not getting what they need out of a number of their players. But look, you can't knock the effort. They're just low on confidence at the moment, and they just need the bounce of the ball. I know they've got a bye this week. You know, there's a little bit of murmurs that Dean Young was just all about, let's just get through this week. Let's make sure we honour, you know, the Anzac spirit as best as we possibly can. Then we've got 2 weeks. And it seems like for Dragons fans, that Dean Young's, you know, assuming that this job's made statements.
Talking like that.
Widespread changes across the whole football operation. And, you know, there's no one out there that doesn't think they need changes at every level of the club. So, look, he's speaking well, and they put some effort in. If they can, you know, spend a couple of weeks and just keep working on a few things, hopefully they can get a couple of wins throughout the season. You know, I think the difference between Manly and the Dragons was that Manly had a coaching problem. They fixed that and they've started getting some wins. The Dragons have got an entire club problem, right? So there's lots of different things that need to get fixed for the Dragons in my book, and hopefully Young. And if it's not Young, hopefully the next coach starts to put them in action. You know, they've just announced Ben Cray to lead up football operations. He's a pretty smart fella. He's got some degrees at university. He's been around rugby league for a long time. He's done a lot of different jobs within the Dragons front office. So hopefully they can get it back on. But as I said, taking absolutely nothing away from the Roosters, they were really sharp. You know, we saw DCE and Walker really build last week's game. And this week's game, they took it to another degree. So, yeah, Roosters are the ones for me at the moment. Obviously, Penrith and the Warriors keep doing their thing. But the Roosters, for me, are the ones that are just starting to peak and starting to head in the right direction, mate.
Yep, and we've talked about it. We talked about it the first couple of weeks going, maybe we'd got that wrong. And then we've talked about it the last 6 weeks going, they just keep winning. They're building nicely. They are absolutely perfectly placed to make a run now, and confidence. And some of the, like you said, there was no lack of effort from the Dragons. They, if anything, they were over-chasing. They fell outside of systems. Yeah, just all over the place. But it's hard when that momentum happens and teams are just going on and on and on. I think we'll definitely see improvement. I do like how Dean Young's talking like it's the job's his.
Yep.
Who knows what conversations have been had. But the authority he's come in with and the certainty, and he's saying, well, this is what we're going to do. Mate, if I'm a Dragons fan, I'm happy with that at the very least. And hopefully gives a few more of these young blokes a crack and we can see what they can do. Have you got any of your injured or suspended people coming back anytime soon?
Oh, look, mate, I think Jaden Suze will be back. I think he only got a 1 week by memory, but I might be off the mark there, mate, and I'm not sure how long Gutherson's out.
Couchman.
I thought Couchman... Yeah, Couchman played on that right edge last week against the Roosters. He did pretty bloody well. He's a middle, and there is certainly a difference between being a middle and an edge player. But yep. Against a rampant Roosters, did really well on that edge. So I think with Jaden back, if he's not back this week, he's certainly back the week after. That'll help. That'll get Couchman back into the middle. But I think Luciano Leilua on the left-hand edge, I think he's just been suspended for a week. So, look, there's a bit of ducks and drakes. Reality is we haven't got enough to come back to make a dent. But yep. Have the bye this week. Rest up, get a little bit of refocus, and I think we've got the Knights on the other end of the bye. So, I'd love to see them get a win just for the effort they're putting in, but we'll wait and see what happens.
Yep. Just before we leave the Dragons, the story is that Drinkwater will be signing if he hasn't already. That leaves them with Gutherson and Val Holmes on collectively just under $2 million. And they could very well be playing in the centres, and then you're talking about around the 900 for Drinkwater as well. It just seems like that's just going to put their cap even more out of whack. It wouldn't be surprising to see them trying to shuffle those two old boys off to the UK in the off season, or if not sooner.
Yeah, I definitely think one of them's got to go, if not both, for cap purposes, but then probably even performance purposes, mate. They just haven't quite ticked the box for us this season. Both of them had fair seasons last season without being over the top, but they both really struggled. Val, I've never seen him just lacking confidence the way he does. You know, he's got some errors in him. He's not carrying the ball as strongly as what he has. So I know I'm going to forget his name right now, but we've signed the winger from the Titans. So he comes next year as well. So that'll obviously strengthen the outside back. So I can see them being a little bit of a turnover of personnel, mate, over the next 6 to 12 months, regardless of who's got the job.
Yep. Next game, Warriors-Dolphins was a classic case of the momentum shifts that new age NRL is, because
yep. Yep,
the Dolphins started on fire. They look for all money, the winners, and then almost like the flick of a switch. The Warriors in that period scored three tries. They They didn't kick many, they didn't convert many, but they had a couple disallowed and they just went berserk for about a 15, 20-minute period. Well,
yep.
Strange old game.
Yeah, well, they're the swings and merry-go-rounds, mate. So the Dolphins scored 18 points all between the 10th minute and the 21st minute. So, you know, you take that 11 minutes out and the Warriors have been far too strong for them. But that's the NRL right now. If you're only going to put 20 points up, you need to make sure you defend for all 80, because a team only needs 10 or 15 minutes now to put 20, 25 points on, and you're going to find yourself behind the eight ball. So hats off to the Warriors. They found a way to shift the momentum. So as I said, the 21st minute was their third try, and then the Warriors went try on the 25th, try on the 28th. So we talk about finding ways to either stop the momentum or get that swing altogether, and the Warriors certainly did that. Again, if it goes the other way, then you can see the Dolphins run away from this. So on the back of playing the Panthers in Darwin, so the Dolphins went from Brisbane to Darwin, back to Brisbane, then over to Auckland, off really hot conditions in Darwin. For them to put this performance up was really impressive. So I think they'll get a lot out of that. They've had two away trips in a row, which usually, you know, binds the troops. So they'll take a lot away from this. And to the Warriors' credit, they just find a way to win, find a way to grind it out and get the W. So, they'll take a lot out of that as well.
And Tanner Boyd goes from strength to strength when they get consistent ball. He just looks like a completely different player. Really good to see. Herbie doing it again. We're thankful as New South Wales fans that he doesn't qualify for Queensland, misses out by a year or two. But for the game itself, mate, what would he add to that that particular form of the game? Because he is just unbelievable. And he just every week we talk about it, but he does some crazy things.
Yeah, he's prime time, mate. He, whether he's defending or attacking, he's just got it. He's just the step above right now. He's very super impressive, he's for me. There's a long way between him and the second best center in the comp at the moment. He's just an absolute standout right now.
Yep, Bunny Storm. Now, I can't pick the Storm again. I've picked him for the last 3 weeks, thinking they'll come good.
Yeah.
And they just get worse. And Bellamy looks lost for answers, because you can't just keep spraying a team to be better. There's clearly a whole lot of other things going on there. I wonder if he's just thinking, oh, I've just gone 1 year too long, because they just looked clueless, particularly in that first half. Was quite still shaking my head. Disbelief.
Yeah. Yeah, you're 100% right, mate. They are nowhere near it, and he's in disbelief. I don't think he gets it. To me, there's been no club affected more by the rule changes than the Storm. And, you know, let's be honest, there's been a lot of supporters over the years have a dip at the Storm for their wrestling tactics, slowing down the ruck, etc. And they've been caught on the hop by these new rules. There's no doubt about it. They're not used to defending with the ruck being as quick as what it is. They're doing their best to slow it down, and they're just copping the six again. So they've really, really struggled to make that happen. So if they don't get a grasp on it real quick, this is going to continue. You know, I can't see them, even if they do turn it around. I can't see them making the eight from where they are. Just the simple fact that there's probably five or six teams already just about locked their spot away with the way that they've been performing. So even if they do scrape in, you're talking about the bottom couple, and you can't do anything from there anyway. So, I can't see it getting any better for them, mate. It's as simple as that. They've been caught off by the new rules. And they're nowhere near where they need to be for it. So I know Hughes is out with the HIA this coming week. But it's just, I don't know, it's just really, really confusing for them. And he looks like he's aged another 5 or 10 years in the first 8 weeks of the season. He just doesn't have answers.
Yep. Fingers crossed that Latrell stays fit for the next 2 months, because he just keeps getting better. It's interesting, we talked about early on whether he's fit enough, but he just keeps delivering, and if there's anyone you wouldn't want to have coming at you when you're a fatigued defence line, it's him. Yep. Because he's just toying with defences with his power. He's pretty good off the mark too for a big fella. So hopefully we see a bit of that in a blue jersey in the next couple of months.
Yeah, he looks fresh, mate. Obviously not playing at fullback there. He's not covering as much territory in attack or defence. So it's certainly paying off for him, and he just looks right now unstoppable. It's like the Latrell that we're all expecting week in, week out, and it's finally happened. So he stays fit and healthy. They're just going to continue to get better, and they get even 50-50 of the ball. They're going to cause trouble all the way to the end.
Yep. Matt Dufty. I'll tell you who the Dragons could do with at the moment is a fullback like that. If there's a player out there that suits this new ruck speed, it's him, and he has been impressive in his two games. It'll be interesting to see when Joy Gray is fit which direction they go. You imagine that Gray will just slot straight back in, but Jesus. He signed a $5,000 New South Wales Cup contract, and if we continue down this path of how this is how we're playing the game, then he'll have teams lining up for him because he has been impressive.
Yeah, he's certainly not built for the old NRL, let's call it, that we saw over the last few years. But the game that is it's turned into over these last 8 weeks, fatigues into it, the middle opens up very quickly in games with six agains. And he's got a fairly big mobile team around him. So he's set himself up in a really good position for South. I still got Gray ahead of him, but to your point, they've got a handy backup there if something goes down, or even that 18th, 19th man that Bennett can put on if games are starting to get away from him. So he certainly earned himself a few more NRL starts, so good on him.
Yep. The only question I have around South is, are they moving into that sort of top four or five of teams, or are Melbourne really that bad? Maybe they're building quite nicely as well. Interesting. I saw the other day I was talking about top eight after six rounds and where the teams usually finish. Generally, it doesn't change too much from the first six rounds, which is interesting. A quarter of the way through the season, there aren't too many that fall in and out. So some of those teams that are sitting sort of 10th to 17th, you can pretty much, apart from Panthers last year as a bit of a outlier, you pretty much put a line through your season now, which is, as a Para fan, that's definitely where I have. And then just looking at what we can see in terms of development of some of these young kids, and maybe it's time for some of those teams to start looking like that as well. The Panthers roll on. I don't think it – I think it's probably a scoreline that's probably a bit unfair to the Knights. So they just keep having a crack, but there's a few trips down. We talked about, they had a young pack and they'll struggle, and with a couple out, that's getting exposed. They'll have some pretty handy troops coming back over the next couple of weeks, so you expect them to bounce back. But, they're looking more and more impressive every week, the Panthers.
Yeah, they do, mate. They just look super dialed in at the moment. They're going to lose a whole truckload of Origin. So they've done the opposite to what happened last year, right? They've gotten off to a really quick start. They dropped the Bulldogs game, but they just look really polished. Edwards, on the back of a little bit of media about his Origin jersey, just come out and had an absolute cracking game of football. He was unstoppable. Casey McLean again showed that for his age, he's one of the best young players in the NRL. And even Brian Tuohy come back and had one of his barnstorming best. So I don't know whether they heard Laurie Daly might be watching the games a little bit harder this week or not, but a few of them stepped up quite nicely. So they were super impressive, almost that clinical style of Panthers that we saw the last couple of years. So they're going to be very hard to beat. As we said, they've had a really good run with injuries. They've probably only lost the back rower on the right edge. And they've got some pretty handy replacements in that slot as well. So they've had a bit of luck at the moment and haven't had to deal with Origin. But right now they look the number one for me. So they're good. And then as far as you say for the Knights, really sorry for poor old Fletcher Hunt. The harder he tried, you know, the more errors he made. He just had one of those games that just nothing goes right for him. So hopefully they get around him and he'll be better for that next week. But they just keep putting in. You know, the Knights have turned back into that old Newcastle team that no matter who they're up against or who they got on the park, they're going to bust a gut for each other. And that was really impressive. Obviously, Ponga's just announced he's going to re-sign, or he has re-signed for the next 4 years. So that's a big deal for them. You know, there won't be any media around Willie or Wondy like there has been the last few years. And it shows a bit of a commitment to the coach and to the town that their rebuild is over and they're heading in the right direction, sort of thing. So, yeah, good signs for them. Hopefully they can get a full side on the park over the next couple of weeks and jag a few victories, mate.
Yeah, and hopefully they can keep players on the park, because if we go back to that first 25 minutes in Vegas when they were fully fit, mate, they looked they were great to watch. So, yeah, hopefully they can keep some troops in. Yeah, Ponga re-signing confirmed. It is a massive tick for Holbrook, isn't it? Like, apparently he took him down the mines in the pre-season just to show him what the town was all about. And yeah, they're getting back that toughness, and if they can add a couple of probably forwards, their backs look pretty stacked at the moment, a couple of forwards, and then as some of those young blokes get better, they are looking like a good team in the next few years. Yeah. Let's get to the pain. Manly Para Brookvale, as the game started to unravel, I was very thankful that it was sold out and I couldn't get tickets, because it can be a lonely old place. And that Brookie Hill, when you're in an opposition jersey, I can tell you. Six all, I just remember thinking, oh, God, we just got to hang on in that for the last 2 minutes. We drop the ball, they go down the other end, they get the field goal. And then the same thing happened for the start of the second half. First half was very evenly matched. In fact, it was quite old school in terms of it was a little bit hit up, and then kick, which for both teams they would have been happy with to be in that grind. But they did look really fatigued start of the second half, and I remember thinking, oh, this game's going to blow wide open. And unfortunately for us, we just dropped too much ball in that first 15 minutes and the game was done that happened, because once that momentum starts, it's pretty hard to turn it back.
Yeah, well, you smack bang on, mate. 7-6 at half time, and then just all of a sudden the floodgates open, and the last half an hour they just went berserk. Both sides, obviously. Mitchell Moses got over for one late, and Luca Moretti, but Manly were just once they got on the roll, they were really impressive. You know, we were pretty stern in our feedback about Fogarty at the start of the season. He's starting to just build into the season really nicely. He's starting to take control and ownership of the team, which has been good for them. And you know, for them to do that with no Turbo at the back. Kohler was obviously playing fullback for them. He's pretty impressive. And for the Eels, they just need to get back to some consistency. You know, I know they fought hard in that first half, but it was sort of like once that first try, you know, went in, I think Hopewade had that first try in the second half, it just took off then, and they just couldn't seem to get it back. They just couldn't wrestle that momentum back. So if they can just get back to grinding it out and getting some consistency in their game, they're going to be all the better for it.
Yeah. They talked about how much passion there was last week when they had the old boys' day. 86 team was there, and they just didn't reach those same levels. And there's, you know, some of the guys who were barometers for the team, Moses and Borlo, just weren't at that same level. And you get what you get. Olakau'atu is another player that is perfectly suited to new age NRL, and you wouldn't be surprised if he gets picked somewhere in that squad for the Blues, because he was damaging with the ball. The ball he took, and very unlucky not to score from the kick through from Fogarty in the first half, that's scary. Like, I don't know why they didn't go to that again, because you've got a bloke who's that big and that mobile, and you can kick with the ball landing just outside the try line and for him to come through. Mate, unbelievable. And the hit he put on Walker was it was fantastic. Poor old Walker. He may have popped a rib, I think, because
he's out for a little while, and that'll really hurt the Eels. He does a lot, a lot of that ball playing through the middle, and really helps that defensive line. But yeah, look, the Holokoatu, he's got Origin written all over him. They just need to get him one on one, even 2-on-1 sometimes. But if they can get him one on one, there aren't too many edge forwards or halves in the game on that edge that can defend him. So they keep working at that, and it looks like Forringer's got him enjoying their footy and playing simple NRL. Anything could happen, and they can keep jagging a few more wins for him. The fans will be over the moon.
Absolutely. Let's get on to next weekend. Now, as you mentioned before, we record this on a Monday night before the teams drop, so we do our best to give our best thoughts without knowing for sure who's playing. But this next one, Bulldogs at home against the Cowboys. Just like with the Cowboys, they have had some really good weeks, but this is one that you just got to look at and go, I've got no idea which way this can go.
Yeah, I've been looking at this this game since the games dropped, and I just can't pick it. To your point, look at the Cowboys last week, leaking the amount of points they did. Bulldogs beat Panthers and then are pretty ordinary the 2 weeks after it. Anything could happen here. If it's a low-scoring game, you probably edge the Bulldogs. But if the Cowboys get in a roll, there's no chance the Bulldogs have got as many points in them as North Queensland do. So Canterbury will be all about defence, trying to slow the Cowboys down, stop the momentum, and try and take them through the middle. And the Cowboys will just be hoping they get the roll on and the game opens up for them for drink water. And he's back three. So it'll be interesting to see, mate. No use me taking a tip in this one. You may as well toss a coin for your tip and comps out there. This could be anything.
It could. I think it very much will come down to how it's refereed, because if they're six against, you imagine the Cowboys will run away with it. But we've also seen what happens to the Cowboys if they don't hang on to the ball. So, yeah, like you said, dead set toss a coin on that one. The Bulldogs fans will be hoping that they can get back to that style of footy that they played against the Panthers, where they really went after the opposition in defence, particularly Cleary. I don't know. Where do you go there? Again, it's a bit of a separation from the top and the bottom. This is probably one of those games that will be really crucial for that back end of the eight. Can't see either of those teams doing too much damage. Storm Dolphins. If the Dolphins can do what they did that first 20 minutes against the Warriors, this could be absolute carnage. And it's just still hard to talk about and get your head around the fact that this is what we're talking about, the Storm. Every year you just go like, oh, surely this is the year they fall apart. But in recent years you're just like, well, I'm not even going to contemplate that they'll be there or thereabouts. And we talked about that at the start of the year. They're broken.
Yeah, no, I agree, mate. If you had it set at the start of the year, we'd get to a point in the season and you could see the Dolphins putting 50 on the Storm. Everyone would laugh at you. But we get here today, it's quite a possibility that the Dolphins put 50 on the Storm. It's as simple as that. So it'd be interesting to see. As I said, Hughes is out. So I'd imagine Wishart will come into the halves probably. But it'll be very interesting to see what happens with the Storm. There has to be a change. They have to get going with these new rules. They've had 8 weeks to figure it out as far as they know that they're not playing the right style of game. But to your point, the Dolphins, you know, the attack that they've got, and then you flip it on its head. They kept the Warriors to 20 points as well. So that's positive signs for them. And the Panthers certainly didn't get away from them the week before either. So it'll just be how much those last 2 weeks has taken out of them. Playing probably the best two teams in the comp, both away in pretty trying conditions. So, you know, just emotionally how much that's taken a toll. But right now the Storm are absolutely zero confidence in the tank. And if the Dolphins can get up early and just put a little bit of pressure on them, yeah, anything could happen in this game again, which is just quite unbelievable to think about.
It is, and the only thing keeping the Storm off the bottom of the comp is the Dragons. So, yeah, unbelievable. Interesting to see where it heads. Yeah, sorry, mate, I had to add that. you're keeping the heat off a lot of other teams at the moment, so it'll be interesting to see where it turns to next because they've got a new coach. The heat will fall off them and it'll go on to someone else and there'll be a few teams down the bottom that might be a bit worried. I think the Bulldogs might be in the sights of the media very soon. Titans Raiders. Titans off a bye. We've talked about them building nicely. Just based off what we've seen in recent weeks, you would give them a big chance in this one because the Raiders haven't really set the world on fire, and the Titans seem to be improving. Whereas the Raiders, they're kind of a bit same, and their results have come down to who they've been playing against. That they've been consistent, but not consistently great.
Yeah, no, I agree, mate. I mean, this is similar to the Storm. If you take years gone by, this is just an automatically Raiders selection. But you take these, 8 weeks that we've seen, the Raiders have just been inconsistent. They haven't made the yards through the middle that they have traditionally, and then they haven't played straight enough to me. They've been playing a little bit sideways. And then the opposite, the Titans have really found a little bit of grit. They're really, starting to play a little bit of hard-nosed footy, which is, the Josh Henne influence. He's been really impressive. So, look, again, this is a toss of the coin as far as, what Raiders we get turn up. And then, how has the bye affected the Titans? Has this been Henne spending a couple more weeks with them, just grinding away? Whoever controls the ball, which sounds like I'm Einstein with the way that the game's going at the moment, but whoever controls the ball better and whoever gets the rubber, the green, I think will win this. And I could certainly see the Titans get one over on the Raiders because, Ricky, not quite in that Bellamy box at the moment, but he's starting to head in that direction. I don't know whether he's got too many answers right now either.
Hudson Young will be missing again, and that's a big out for them. I don't know if Papa's back, but they're going to do it without two of their key forwards as well. You would give the Titans a massive shout in that one. Eels Warriors, you would expect the Warriors just to be well too good in this one. As a fan, the only hope is that it is refereed similar to the Dogs game, and it's slowed down a bit. There's not too many repeat sets, and we're just got to hang on to the ball because we've got points in us. And actually, at times we've defended quite well. We defended our line against the Seagulls last weekend, but we just can't. Like, we're not a team that can defend a low completion rate, and that's been the story of the season when they've got pumped at the moment. So this one should be pretty straightforward result, you would think too, but given the unpredictable nature of the comp, you're not without hope.
Yeah, no, mate, of course not. I think everything, to your point, has got to go the Eels' way to get the win. I think the Warriors are just in the zone and in the groove at the moment. They're playing some pretty good football, so I think their defence will be too strong for Para, and they'll get the win on Saturday.
Yep. Saturday, Roosters Bronx. Do we think that Reece Walsh will be back? Last week he did a post saying back in this weekend. He didn't play, but he can't be far away. I'm not sure if they're getting too many other troops back, but at the moment they're just grinding out results anyway, so this could be quite a good game.
Yeah, I'd love to see these two at full strength because next to the Panthers and the Warriors, these are the next two for me, just the way they're playing. Yep. Injuries aside, of course, I probably got the Roosters ahead just with who the Broncos will be able to put on the park. while it's obviously been an extremely competitive team, you know, they haven't come up with against someone like the Roosters. So it'll be really interesting to see how they go. But Walsh more than likely will be back. He'll probably get named tomorrow, but they're still missing so many players. So I've got the Roosters ahead there. But don't be too disappointed for Broncos if they do go down here, because they've taken two crucial wins in the last fortnight, and those 4 points will be vital for them at the back end. I could see these four teams making it the final four, and then away they go. It'll be an absolute cracking shootout. Don't be too disappointed if the Broncos don't get the win. But don't give up hope, because they just keep fighting at the moment.
Yeah, they do. You'd expect the Roosters, the way they've been the last couple of weeks, that they'll be too good. But I think it might be a bit closer than people might expect. Okay, Knights Rabbitohs. Before the Storm game, I would have thought this would be much closer, and it still may well be. Ponga is back, I'm pretty sure, this week. I haven't got the details in front of me, but of course we're doing this on a Monday, but I think they might have a couple others back as well. Although I think Saifidi might be out, so that's not a good thing for a forward pack that's already battling a bit. But this will be interesting to see, because I think these two teams will be in that sort of fourth through eighth on the ladder when it comes towards the end. But you'd expect the Bunnies just to be a bit too good based on what we saw last week.
Yeah, I agree, mate. I think you've got to go with a hot hand at the moment, and right now, that left side, obviously with Luttrell, they're just looking really impressive. So there looks like there's a couple coming back for the Knights, as you say. But I think Lucas and Cant will still be a few weeks back. But Ponga and Best and Frizzell look like coming back. So I got old Barry Toohey, the famous Newcastle journo. He's calling all three of them to be back. So that'll be huge inclusions for them. But the Rabbitohs for mine, just on that left edge. But, mate, the Knights are certainly playing like old Knights football. So another one that will not shock me if the Knights can get a victory there at home for Sunday footy.
Should be a good one. Looking forward to sitting back and watching that one. Sharks, Tigers. Again, you expect the Tigers to be too good, but the Sharks have shown different weeks that they'll be right in the contest. I haven't worked them out. I'm not convinced that they're even a top eight side just yet. And this could be a really key matchup to decide where we think they'll sit, because they've got to show more than what they've showed in recent weeks. And the Tigers have been super impressive, probably behind Penrith, the most impressive team in the comp. So if the Sharks can step up and get a good result in this one, even if they don't win it, then you're probably think they've got a chance of tracking back in the right direction. Again, not convinced. I think the Tigers will be well too good.
Yeah, this is super important game for Cronulla. So they're sitting ninth, 3 wins, 4 losses. They lose this, all of a sudden it starts to become a little bit, you know, they've got to win 2 or 3 games in a row to start putting themselves back in contention. So while we say we're only round 8, to your point, things are just starting to settle in quite nicely with certain teams that look like they're already a lock for the semis. So the Sharks really need to put in a performance here and get the 2 points. The Tigers, they just keep doing it. They look super impressive. Obviously, there's been a lot of press, and it'll continue now until the 30th, when a decision needs to be made. But with Jerome Luluai heading over to PNG for a tour of the Chiefs' headquarters, it'll be interesting to see if that has any effect whatsoever. I can't see it having an effect on him. You know, the Penrith boys have all been through this before when they left Penrith, and they all put in outstanding ends of the season. But for the Tigers themselves, they've started to build this little culture where they're really tight and they're starting to put together real good team performances. So, you know, if he does say that he's going to head off, it'll obviously be in 2028. But that may just have a little bit of a you know, a little bit of a stubbed toe moment for the Tigers. So we'll see how that pans out. Right now, you've got to go with the Tigers because they keep winning games and finding a way to win. But this is vitally important for the Sharks. They'll come out really, really hurting and really busting for a victory here, mate.
Absolutely, it does show something that we've talked about before, that the people in charge of the Chiefs are confident that plenty of players will be open to those big money opportunities with the tax-free dollars. I saw an article today and they were talking about what could unfold, and it talked about how many of that Panthers group from about 4 or 5 years ago are off contract. They rattled off Lenu, Leota, and the other two names escape me at the moment. I'm just trying to have a quick look for it now. But it would be very interesting to see if they sort of go, okay, well, let's get in there. And the other one, I don't know if you saw this, Joey Manu, his dad actually publicly declared, yes, we'd be definitely interested after the World Cup. Because he wants to play for New Zealand. He's looking for a contract in the Super Rugby so he can be a chance for the World Cup for the All Blacks. But then, yeah, imagine that as a signing for the Chiefs. Suddenly the poor old Bears look like they're going to get left behind.
Yeah, the poor old Bears are going to struggle, and we called that early. They're doing their best to put together a squad that won't get belted up each week, but putting that squad against a team that's genuine contenders, they're going to be well behind. But the Chiefs really do look like they've got something going there with this tax-free dollar. It certainly attracted them. So, yeah, Joey Manu's old man seems like he's keen on putting a few extra dollars in the kit. So he was, it sounded very positive there. And you talk about the Panthers, I never thought about more than Jerome Luluai, but that's the only way you're going to put the band back together again. They can't go and play for anyone else together because the salary cap simply wouldn't allow it. But over there in PNG, tax-free dollars, you know, there'd be a few of them that'd be able to take a little bit unders knowing that every dollar's going to go in their kit. So super interesting to see. This obviously will not be the last player. We'll be talking about this for the next 2 years. You know, every time someone gets on a plane to go over to PNG, we'll know about it. But it'll affect some players and some teams differently than others. So for the Tigers, I hope that doesn't really affect them. I hope they bum up and just keep on ripping in. But really important game for me. This is a really key game for the weekend to see how things will pan out.
Yeah, absolutely. The other person I heard mention was Connor Watson. Big Mal said, you know, they'd tried to lure him to the Bears, but he goes, I'm pretty sure that that's where he's heading. The Tigers showed that the way they're playing, they don't depend on Luai anyway. Jock Madden stepped in and was enormous when he wasn't there. So I don't know if they'll skip a beat there. Like you said, Luai certainly won't. He's a professional. He showed when he was on the way out, like a lot of those guys from Penrith, that they just keep performing. I think it'll be business as usual for them. And anyway, got a bit sidetracked from the Panthers-Eagles game. Does the bubble burst eventually for the Eagles? They at the moment, they're just running harder, tackling harder, hanging onto the ball, and then when the game opens up, they're going wide and cutting teams up with all that speed they've got out in the back line. Maybe they're a bit more of a chance than what common sense would say for this game. You'd expect the Panthers to win, but If the East can hang in there, they are every chance because they just keep meeting every assignment so far.
Mate, if I didn't know better, I thought you'd stop supporting Parra and you've gone over to support the Manly. Mate, hey, I never thought...
Fosball, mate. I'm on the...
Hey, unbelievable.
Fosball.
You're going to hand the blue and gold jersey in. Yeah, look, they'll keep doing what they're doing, mate, but I think they've met their match in Penrith. I think Penrith will be too good for them. It'll just be interesting to see whether they go with them or not. And I don't mean match them try for try in an 80-point slugfest. I just mean hang in there. I can't see them knocking Penrith over, but if they can stick close to them, put up a good defensive performance, that's all I think you could ask for. Obviously, they can't continue to win games. No one does that in the NRL. But, for their fans' hope and what they're trying to build out there, just a good, solid performance that they don't get blown off the park. They just dig deep and keep fighting for them, for mine, mate.
They do, but if you look at just only a few weeks ago, the Dogs knocked over the Panthers and the Dolphins took them real close. And yes, that was in Darwin in unique circumstances. But, I think if ever there's a time where upsets are going to happen, we know after we talked about the unpredictability of the competition, then they're every chance. And absolutely not will I ever be joining the Seagulls as a fan, mate. So let's just get that really clear from the start. The power rankings. Not too much changed here. The top five from last week.
First week it's been exactly the same for Gagan. They've just switched the Tigers and the Warriors have switched around. So all five teams had pretty good wins. So Penrith Tigers, Warriors, Roosters, Manly. And that's probably, you know, where I see it. I think South is starting to really push into there with some of the victories that they've had. Gagan has it the same as last week, just with 2 and 3 switched around. So be interesting to see with a couple of these games that we're talking about could go 50-50, if that has any impact on next week's power rankings.
I expect the Roosters to continue to climb those power rankings over the next month, and it wouldn't surprise me if they are in second or even competing for first in the not-too-distant future. I think if we look at the current month, you just can't argue with that, and you're hard-pressed to find anyone else who's going to knock those guys off, even with a good performance in the next week. So we may well be looking at the same five teams this time next week, Steve.
Yeah, agree, mate, agree. I think, South and Broncos are certainly on the cusp, but I can't argue with any of those five, mate. I'm going to go with our man Gagan one more week.
He keeps his job for one more week. Well, this time next week, will we still be whinging old men screaming at the clouds about how this new NRL is being played? Or will we be on board and just accepting the fate? It'll be very interesting to see how it plays out. As you said, once we hit Origin and teams are missing players, and if this injury count keeps up, it'll be interesting to see, because there's already some noise out of the RLPA, Clint Newton talking about the speed of the game and the injuries and how the players weren't consulted and in the rule changes. So I don't think we've heard the last of that. So it'll be, particularly for you and I, who may have lost a bit of interest in the fortunes of our team, that might be where we're turning our attentions over the next few weeks.
Yeah, lot to play out over the next few weeks, mate. Can't wait for more rugby league, though. We'll see how they go on the weekend.
Absolutely. All right, mate. We'll catch you next week.
Cheers, Hope.
You've taken the time to listen to this whole episode. Now it's time to take action. Commit to one thing you've learned today and make it happen. And to avoid any obstructions, join the Sport is Life movement by clicking on the link in the show notes.